Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I am very honored to have in the show Kim Martin, who actually grew up not too far from where I was. She was in Hacienda Heights, and I live in Whittier, so we're neighbors. So howdy, neighbor. It's great to have you here. And let me get your mic on there, too. Kim, I originally had heard from, James Grover had told me about, and he's here in studio. James, it's good to see you.
Thank you.
And he had told me about her, but I had actually heard about her before, and as a great bass player and doing a lot of rock stuff, but she came out with a new EP, and it's called Old Southern Soul, and it's got a rock flavor to it, but also I guess the best way to describe it, country with a southern rock flavor to it, and it's a great little it's a great EP. I really like it. Some really nice stuff and some great musicians on here, produced by Hank Linderman. And the pedal steel on some of the tunes is John McPhee.
Yes.
So, anyway, it's great to have you here
Thank
at the
you.
Show.
Great to be here.
And now I make sure that I got you on the right mic. Here, I'll put you on this one. Okay. There's a whole bunch of mics in here because we got the band in here tonight.
Yay.
Anyway, let me. I'm going to play a clip. This is called "Home Sweet Home" from the EP. And take a listen. It'll give you a kind of a feel of what she's doing. And then we're going to get into more detail about her playing. Now, that's what I kind of, my impression of Kim Martin when I had originally heard about her. So,
oh, yeah.
Great song.
Thanks.
Great tune, and it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your background and your, you know, you started,
I started playing bass at 14.
Very cool.
I found my first bass guitar in the garage in a big pile of junk. And I pulled it out, and I'm like, wow, it was my older brother's. And he was already gone, so I kind of just started playing with it, and I think it had three strings, and so I was just learning by ear, and a couple months later, I asked my mom I wanted to start taking lessons, so I went down to the local music shop, Male Sound of Music on Hacienda Boulevard, and started taking lessons once a week, and my first teacher was a guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
So first year I was taught bass by a guitar player.
So you started on bass and just did bass.
Yeah, and then I went to a bass instructor, Herb Mickman, down in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I went to Mount SAC for one semester to get ready to go to Berklee College of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And had to study jazz, which I had no knowledge of whatsoever. I thought all I needed to do was learn YYZ and all these cool Rush songs, and boy, was I wrong.
Hold on one second. I just discovered why you sound so far away.
Oh, here we are.
Front. Carpenter song.
It's like night and day.
We had the mic turned around. Okay.
Hold on. Do me a favor. You want to bring this up? Okay. Bring that all the way down.
Yeah.
There we go. Sorry about that. There. Now.
All right. Oh, that's better.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Like night and day. Okay.
Much better.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. She sounds
now we're all in- now we're all intimate. Okay.
She sounds so far away. What's going on
so
here?
So far away.
There we go. But anyway, what got you into playing bass? What inspired you?
I wanted to play an instrument, and I tried out for the drums in sixth grade, and it was a written test, and I didn't pass. And they said, "How about clarinet?" I'm like, "No way."
Oh, so you were applying for at school? So
yeah, I was just singing. I was singing in choir, and I wanted to do something cool. I'm like, "Oh, I want to play drums." And no, it didn't happen. So I just picked up the bass, and I loved it, and I just stuck with it.
Well, what did you listen to back then?
I was listening to Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Ozzy.
So you were in the real hard rock metal?
My first concert was Iron Maiden Power Slave at Long Beach Arena.
Oh, very cool.
So I love the rock and roll, and I just couldn't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went on to Berklee and studied jazz and really, you know, learned a lot, so much more about music. Came back, and then I came back and I went to Grove Music School and started engineering because I wanted to learn that aspect of music.
So you learned recording and engineering
from
there.
Yeah, I went to Berklee for bass, for performance was my major. And then I came back home and I went to Grove for 1 year, right before they closed.
Yeah, I remember Grove.
It was 90. Well,
it's interesting, too, because I'm surprised that you didn't get more jazzy from being at Berklee.
It's just not what moved me. Personally, you know, I liked the energy in rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and they were pretty open back for that to.
Oh no, I had to learn jazz.
Oh, you had to learn jazz too.
Oh, I had to learn jazz. Yeah, we had to. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of rockers that have come from Berklee.
We had rock ensembles, and you can join different ensembles and mm-hmm. different groups and for different styles. But mm-hmm. you had to learn the jazz.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It really broadened my. You know, my music abilities, too.
Mm-hmm. But you don't feel that it's influenced
it's
your playing?
It's just not in my heart. It's okay. Just not something that moves me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, did you get into blues?
I got into fusion more.
I got into fusion players more
because it was incredible players. Blues, I like the blues, but I don't really get into it that much. I like some of it.
Well, you kind of sing it a little bit. I mean,
I like some blues, some rock blues.
I would say maybe your the song "I Stayed."
I Stayed is definitely a minor blues progression.
Minor, yeah.
I love some. I love different kinds of blues.
So, what bass players influenced you a lot? Who did you like besides the bands?
Well, I really got into Geddy Lee right after high school. I really got into Rush, and it was such a challenge. To learn all the bass lines, I just had to learn them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just learned them and just so that I could play them. But then I got into all the other stuff, too. But that was my main influence. And then I started getting into Jaco when I was going to Berklee and getting into the jazz, more mm-hmm. of the jazz players.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Now, at that time, what did you use? What kind of a bass did you
have? I had my first bass was the one that I found in the garage, and it didn't even have a name.
Mm-hmm.
So the second one was, it was a Kramer.
Oh,
it was
okay.
A destroyer-shaped kind of diagonal pointy thing, and I had this custom-made gig bag, and everybody's all, what is that? It's a bass. It looked like a big bazooka. What is that thing? It's a bass. And then I got a Fender Jazz Bass mm-hmm. back in, I want to say, around 96. Mm-hmm. I went to audition for Ozzy Osbourne, and I had this little pink bass that was given to me at Berklee, and I'm like, oh, I can't take a pink bass. Audition for Ozzy. So the night before, I spray-painted it black. And it smelled like paint. And we were in line, and everybody was smelling, where's that paint coming from? Like,
fresh paint.
It's still a little tacky. And then a few days later, I ended up going and buying a Fender Jazz Bass.
Do you still have it?
No. It actually got burnt in a storage fire back in 03.
Oh.
Yeah. One of my friends has it up on his wall as a shrine.
As a shrine.
In Baldwin Park.
So after that, what did you get? What did you end up using?
After the Fender, what did I get? Oh, I started getting into my friend of mine. His name's Al Farnell. He built custom lightweight guitars. And so he gave me a bass, and I liked it. It was lightweight. And several years later, I found the Ibanezes. And mm-hmm. the Ibanez sound gears are now my favorite one. I have three different ones, but they're all the Sound Gear 500 series.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them because they're small. I'd say they're perfect for females because the fretboard isn't that big, and it's not a big of a stretch because my hands aren't that big.
Is that a smaller scale than a normal bass?
No, it's just standard. Just lighter. And it fits me better.
Yeah, it's got a narrow neck like a jazz. It's
very
got
narrow.
That narrow.
Yeah, because the Fender basses, they're a lot harder for me to play because I got to do such a wide stretch on
okay.
my hands.
Even the jazz?
Yeah,
even the jazz.
They're harder for me to play, yeah.
So that
and they're very heavy, and they sound great, but for me personally.
Yeah, that neck is a little trimmed down.
I like the lightweight, smaller guitars.
What scale is it? James, that looks like it's a smaller scale than
It looks like a smaller scale, but actually it's a narrower neck. It's the same distance.
24?
It's 24 frets. Yeah. But it's just a little more
narrow.
It's
only about 8 pounds, where a Fender is closer to 15 pounds. So
it's
after about
guitar.
2 hours wearing a heavy bass, it takes a toll on my shoulder.
Yeah, it's just the stringers are closer together than wider,
mm-hmm.
but it's still the same.
But they
scale.
Sound great. They're active
and a thinner neck than usually like a P bass or a Fender bass.
So she has she has active electronics.
Yeah, they're all
in there.
Active pickups. Yeah.
Now she brought in. She's using a Mark bass, a Jeff Berlin model, but is that what you use live
that's
or do
what
you
I use live?
That's it.
That's all I need. It's 300 watts, and when I go to the bigger clubs, we can line out. And they go through their sound system.
So you just go through this. You don't use a big cabinet or anything like that?
I used to use Ampeg, but I downsized from three giant things to one small thing. And it got the tone that I like. It was so hard to get a tone with four 10s and one 15 and a big giant head and all, carrying all that stuff was not easy.
Well, do you miss? I know it's the SVTs.
And the older we get, the smaller amps we want.
Yeah, that's true. I know the SVT head weighs more than you.
It's taller than me. It's bigger than me. I probably can't even get it.
But do you miss that tube sound? Because that was a pretty punchy sound.
No, not really. I don't really miss it. When we have big stages where they provide those for backline, it's fun. It's fun to play them, but
you can get that type of.
But I have
tube punch
I really enjoy my tone that I have. With
I know the Mark bass. A lot of session guys like it a lot, and it gets close to that type of tube punchiness.
It's fun to play the big tube amps, but I don't miss it.
So you just used Ampeg, or did you use anything else?
Oh no, I had everything. I started with the. I still have it. My very first amp is a PV 65 watt TKO, and I got it when I was like 16.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a birthday gift from a friend.
Do you ever use it?
I still have it. It still works. Yeah, I use it in my room. It's the only one that's in the house, and I still use it.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it went back and forth to Boston on the train, and it still works.
That's cool.
So then from then on, I got a Gallien Krueger. I had Gallien Krueger for a while, but I had this big, huge 18-inch Sherwin Vega cabinet, which was almost impossible to move. It was so big.
No, I remember those days with the 18s. And
huge. So I've had that. I've had, I think I went on to the Ampeg after the
But you had the SVT trigger. With the 810s? Was that
No, I had 410s. I had the SVT 3 Pro. It was a solid state head.
Oh, the solid state head.
It's not easy being a bass player with
solid
gear.
State head. It was 410s and 115.
But now with Class D though, it's you're able to get 600 watts at 5 pounds.
That's
pretty cool.
But back then you had the big cabinets with the big magnets and you're just trying to carry that. It's just a backbreaker,
Well, I remember those SVTs and I remember those Sun Coliseums. Those are great.
Oh yeah.
They were loud, but they were great. They were fun, but you felt that.
Yeah,
you
but also depending on the size of the stage, the smaller clubs, you don't need a whole lot of power.
Yeah.
I have 300 watts in it, and they're always saying, turn it down.
No, that's true. But a friend of mine, he had a Coliseum with two 18s, and the problem was you know, the waveform is so low. For you to hear that, it goes way out. So, like, on stage, he couldn't hear himself. Mm-hmm. But you go 20 feet out into the audience, it's, like, all bass. And so he would turn it up, and, you know, that was a problem with those bigger. But they sounded great because he had the 18s, and it got deep. But, you know, you had to watch it. The physics were working against you. Mm-hmm. But these, this bass, we were setting up this before the show, and it sounds really good. It's got a great tone to it.
Yeah, it does.
So, but let's talk a little bit of now. Let's talk about this EP, Old Southern Soul. Now, what made you want to go in and do more country? Since you've been
the last 10 years or so, I've just really been listening to basically only country music. The classic rock just kind of didn't really inspire me that much anymore, and I really liked the storytelling in country music. The storytelling mainly, but then all the other instruments, I like to call them swampy instruments. Mm-hmm. The dobros, the fiddle, banjo, and all the stuff that gives you that country flavor. I really like that, and so not only the instrumentation, but the storytelling. And it was fresh. To me, it was fresh. And because I've been listening to the other stuff my whole life, and it's like, wow, this stuff is just different, and it's new. And also, country is where, you know, you can hear a new artist, and you can hear a new song by an old artist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fresh for me, and I just enjoy it.
Now, when you play live, do you still miss you still rock out?
Oh, yeah.
Right, in the band?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, how much, now, after doing this album, and there's some really great guitar work in here by both Linderman, McPhee, there's some really great stuff in here. You got fiddle. Is it hard to translate this to a live gig, or not too bad?
It's not too bad because we do it with our cover songs as well. We do other country music, which has tons of guitar work, but we just consolidate it and just try to get the main lines out there. And don't have a fiddle player right now, but for the bigger shows, of course, we'll bring on a fiddle player.
Right, but I mean, do you tend to? Because there's some really, I mean, like we'll play in a minute the clip I stayed, which is a very mellow song. But do you rock it up a little more?
No.
Or are you pretty much staying true to the album?
We pretty much stay true to the album. Yeah.
So no, it's that's interesting. It's a great sound. Well, let me play something. Well, we were talking a little bit about the blues. Let me play this clip, I Stayed. It's an interesting clip, and really beautiful. And it's a little mellower from the rest of the rest of the album. Let me play this, and then we'll talk about it.
Unpredictable, thought we had it all, and now I'm questioning all of that. Did I see right through how you played me, your fool? But I'm burning out, I'm learning all about this time. I can't take it, no, not one more day. If I only knew what you'd put me through, I would've run away.
Now, let me just remind everybody, this is a album full of songs, and she does a lot of singing, great singing. I'm pulling clips to show more of the guitar parts and stuff, and if I'm correct, that's Hank on guitar?
Yes, that's Hank. He's on that one. There's acoustic guitar, a resonator guitar, and a lead guitar. Not really sure what we used for the electric lead, but
that's a great. It sounds like a Telly to me.
He has so many different guitars; yeah. It was kind of hard to.
Yeah, Hank Linderman. He's got an arsenal of guitars. He's got a wall full of them, and it's unbelievable. Every time you see Hank, you pull out a guitar and say, "Hey, check out this guitar!" You know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting to hang out with Hank because you never know what he's going to pull out. It's like a magic trick out of a hat. It just comes out.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, yeah, it was so cool because we'd be sitting there, and he goes, "Have you ever seen this guitar?" I'm like, "No." He'll be, "I'll be right back," and he'd come back in, and he's got this. thing that was made, you're like, oh my god, I've never seen something like that.
Well, those fills that he plays behind you is just mm-hmm. they're just great classic licks all through that. And then in doing that song, the bass, so let's talk a little bit about that. Did you go direct or did you play?
Oh, everything was direct. The whole album we were direct, very low volume, just mm-hmm. direct right into the board, dry. And then afterwards, he would go and he would affect, you know, pick whatever effects in the EQ that he wanted.
Okay, and you were using this bass. For that
session? I think so. I had either this one or my white Ibanez. They're both the same models.
Oh, you have a white one?
Yeah, I have a white one just like this. This one is actually my newer one. I got this one back in October. This one is a quarter inch. The neck is a quarter inch thinner than my white one. So this one is
I mean, narrower
one.
Or thinner?
Narrower. Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, now, any difference in sound for you?
This one actually has more of a thump to it. I think because it's newer. My other one is probably about 8 years old, and it's just
The pickups,
you know, how they go after a little bit of time.
No, it's a great sound. So he just ran you direct in there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You were just...
We're direct, and it took me about 3 takes on each of the songs.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about, you had mentioned in your bio, which is on her website, kimmartinmusic.com. Mm-hmm. And how did you get the songwriting process? You worked with Hank, right?
Well, actually, the songs were pretty much written when I went in.
Oh, okay.
He helped me to rearrange one part on Home Sweet Home. But other than that, they were pretty much ready
to go.
Did
you write them on guitar?
All except for the ballad. The ballad I wrote on keyboards, and I actually wrote that one back in 2008. It sounds a lot different because it was a different part, different time in my life. The other songs are... Or within the last, I'd say the last 3 years that I wrote.
Last 3 years?
Yeah, so it was a different time. You know, it was a different things that were going on, and that's why it sounds so much different than the other songs.
And that one, the song that I stayed, mm-hmm. that one had Sammy Avila?
Avila.
Avila on Hammond B3.
Yes. Yeah.
Great sound there. That's interesting. You wrote that on keyboard.
Yeah, I wrote it on keyboard, and I didn't even play acoustic guitar until about 2 years ago. James sold me his... Yamaha. I think I still owe you $40. I got to get that to you. But he sold me his Yamaha, and I got a chord chart that I got a poster. I ordered a poster. I'm like, okay, I'm putting this up on the band wall, and I'm going to learn these chords. And next thing you know, that's how I'm writing my songs, is with the acoustic guitar. So I would take in my acoustic guitar. I finally bought one. I bought a black Ibanez.
Yeah, that's the one on the album cover.
That's the one on the cover, yeah. So I bought the Ibanez about a year and a half ago and started learning how to play it. And I would take those songs in to Hank and just sit there. Okay, here's how the song goes. And I'd play and sing on the sixth string. And he'd grab an acoustic guitar and start playing along. And we'd just start building the song. He'd lay down an acoustic guitar track along with a drum, just like a drum drum machine. Just like a metronome, basically, just to keep time. And we'd start building the track. So he would take over, do the acoustic guitar part, and then I would do a bass line. We'd do a scratch drum machine, scratch vocal. Next time, come back. I'm going to redo the vocal, redo the bass line. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much it. Okay, now what do we need? Okay, now we need some kind of a lead. Let's figure out what kind of we need. Okay, now we need fiddle. And we got to email the part to our fiddle player in Nashville, who mm-hmm. recorded mm-hmm. in his studio at Pro Tools, and email it back.
Yeah, no, that's the new recording process. Where you
oh, yeah.
But it's interesting. Now, did you guys chart these out, or are you just told them what to play?
I just went in there. I had them written down, just like my scratch tracks, nothing fancy, just the chord changes and the measures.
Oh, okay. So there was like a... But for the other people, was there like a rhythm chart for them?
No.
So they...
Oh, no. It was just me and Hank in the room.
No, but I mean when you having the other players come in.
Just by ear.
No.
They all did it at
old
their...
school.
They
old
all
school.
Did it in their own studios at their own time by ear.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's yeah, these are all veteran musicians. So when you have veteran musicians, they're used to this stuff. So they can just literally just listen to it, and they're ear trained, so they can just go ahead and go with the part before they actually
tell
record
them the key
it.
It's in.
So it's pretty good. You know, it's great to have these musicians on board with Kim because they did a fantastic job.
Well, it's a different feel than writing it out and doing it, you know, having them do it, head charts, as we call it. Mm-hmm. It definitely has a different feel to it, and it works. I think the interaction, it's amazing that, for example, that fiddle player is recording in Nashville, but it fits. Yeah. It sounds like they're all in the room together.
Well, Brian Arrowood, the fiddle player, he's a very fantastic fiddle player. He's actually touring with Travis Tritt. And when we met, me and Kim met him at the same time, and he goes, "Oh yeah, you know, whatever you guys need on fiddle, let me know, and I'll be happy to help you." And him and I and Kim became instant friends. And when Kim went into the studio, she recommended, "Hey, how about Brian?" And then Hank, how do you know about Brian? Because I told him about Brian Arrowood. Mm-hmm. He goes, "Yeah, let's try Brian." So we got Brian Bryson. And then it was a quick process, in, out, and it was done. Mm-hmm.
2 days. He had the parts back to me in 2 days. And I said, put more on there than we need. So he just loaded it up. I mean, he really did a number.
Oh, yeah.
And we're listening. We're like, wow, listen to all these parts. So then Hank would join, you know, okay, I like this riff. We're going to put this riff. We're not going to use that one. We're going to use this one. And we just piece it together.
Mm-hmm.
From like two different tracks, we piece the ones that we wanted, take the parts that we wanted.
Wow. So now, now then the rest of this, Hank did all the other guitar work. Pedal steel, was that sent out? Another thing over.
Yes, that was emailed. Yeah, John did the pedal steel and the Telecaster on Country Girl, and so we emailed him the track, and he sent us the parts when he had them done.
And then what about the drums?
The drums, all except for Old Southern Soul, the drums which Ronnie did the tracks on Old Southern Soul at his Pro Tool studio. So the same thing. We emailed him the song.
Mm-hmm.
He did like three different takes. Emailed it back. And then we picked which parts that we wanted and consolidated it into one drum part. The other songs we used Drew Hester on drums, one of Hank's good friends. At the time, he was playing with Joe Walsh. Now he's on the road with Stevie Nicks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great guy. We were at Grove at the same time, it turns out, Grove Music School. But he came over to Hank's house, and they actually set up the drums and mic'd them there.
So he did them there.
Yeah, he had never heard the songs. He came in, he listened to it. Twice, okay, go do it. He took three takes, and that was it. We picked from those three takes.
So, and then in Hank's studio, there's a good size room for the drums.
It's a separate room, yeah.
Because they sound good.
Plenty
of room. It's got a good sound to it.
Yeah, totally separate room.
Yeah, the way Hank has his studio set up is it's phenomenal. It's very. He has a control room all by himself, and he has a separate room for drums, vocals, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't overbleed. And in the way Hank. Produces and arranges and engineers, it's just phenomenal to watch him. He's really good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not only did I luck out with the producer-engineer combination, but when I told him that I really would like you to do the guitar parts, and we ended up collaborating together on the parts, and it just rolled. It flowed so easy.
Yeah.
It was really enjoyable, and I learned so much.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a connection and magic there. I mean, it's a good combination. You can hear it, the energy and the music and the way the arrangements. And also, too, it's interesting. When we were just playing that clip, too, of I Stayed, you're doing some interesting lines on the bass. You're going around, you're moving around a little bit, and you get these inversions that are kind of interesting.
You know what's funny about that is being a bass player, I mean, a lot of us tend to overplay sometimes. Well, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But Hank goes, okay, I'm going to, you know, rework some of these lines. So what I recorded isn't exactly what was the final product. He would take some stuff out, move some stuff around, and what it came out was great. So I actually had to go back in and relearn my parts because I wasn't playing them live yet. So now I'm going back and relearning my parts. So some of the lines were again, consolidated like we did with the fiddle parts. There was a lot to start with, and we kind of
trimmed it down
to what it would work best for the song.
Right. Less is more.
Less is more.
That's what Ronnie says. Ronnie Siago.
All the time.
Here.
Now, we can either play another clip in a couple of minutes, or we can have you guys play live. But what I want to do before we just do that, so that everybody gets an idea before you start playing, is I want to talk a little bit about your playing, your technique and stuff. Studying in Berkeley in bass, your approach, you're using fingers, you don't use a pick.
No, I've never used a pick for the bass.
Now, did you ever play anything else, like fretless, upright? Did you have to
in tried school? To, no, I tried to, but the upright was way too big for me. Mm-hmm. It towered over me, and I could barely even reach the top of it, let alone.
Now, I'm trying to snap pictures while she's talking, so I want you to I want you to play a little bit just on the bass. Let me get you on so that we hear you. And what I want to do is look at your fingers and on both the right and left hand and talk a little bit about that. So let me go ahead and just play something. Now, I'm going to ask some questions here. Now, she's playing her fingers on her right hand are pretty much like 90 degree to the strings.
Yeah, the thumb's on the top of the pickup. I rest my thumb on the pickup. That's why it's all worn out right here. The pain is all gone.
I got to stand up and take a picture of this.
I've always rested. You got to anchor your thumb. That's number one rule when you're playing bass. Anchor your thumb. Otherwise, you're going to be going all over the place.
Right,
anchor it right there on the pickup.
Okay.
And you just move your other fingers across the strings, like that.
Okay. Now, I'm moving around from the mic. On your left hand, where's your thumb?
My thumb is in the middle of the neck. You're supposed to be like a crab or like a spider, you know, with your hand extended like that. That gets really uncomfortable after a while. So I just kind of hold it in the middle of the neck back here, my thumb, and just kind of relax my hand and go down the neck.
The reason I'm asking that is because even with guitar players in the middle, it allows you to access all of the strings.
Yeah.
It gives you more leverage in that. Again, her hand is basically 90 degrees to the strings, even the left hand. Mm-hmm. And the way you play is very similar to classical. You curl a little bit. You're curling the fingers. I'm going to try to get a picture of that. It's hard to show that while you're moving, but her hands, she curls, and so it's
almost like a spider, like if a spider
right walking. And it gives you that articulation and clarity. Go ahead and play some more. So she can be very agile, and at the same time, you're getting every note is clear and it rings true. Mm-hmm. And also the tone is pretty consistent too.
Right. I don't do a lot of hard hitting. I don't have to hit it hard to get a good sound. You don't want to be like, you know, doing all kinds of stuff unless you're slapping, and it's just not my style.
But I'm just wondering if you have a little bit of that Getty influence where you dig in a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Percussive,
so you
because
can, yeah.
It just depends on the song. You know, if we're doing something hard and heavy, yeah, I'll play it harder just to get a little more percussive with it. Or if it's a funky kind of song, or just depends. Like disco, you got to be a little percussive. You get that little snap.
Yeah, you get that little that tone. And now she's not even popping or snapping, but she gets that little punch.
Oh, yeah.
I've always been a finger. I've learned how to slap, but it's uncomfortable for me, and it kind of hurts my hand after a while.
It's pretty much all in the control.
I'm a finger player.
The way she controls
the
bass.
Well, but a lot of the funk
amazing.
Players, that's how they play.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of like a real...
But it's just, it's not...
Seinfeld.
It's exactly... It's just not my style.
Now, what strings are you using?
I use GHS boomers, 45
to 105s.
45 to 105. Yeah, you get a nice clean punch. It doesn't sound too muddy. You got to change them for as much as we play. We play like, you know, 3-4 times a week. So I change them about 5 weeks.
And they're pretty bright.
Otherwise, they start going dull and they get, you know, sweat and stuff all over the strings. And, I just change them. Just 10 about every 5 weeks.
So that's actually a pretty, that's not, that's a pretty.
And bass strings aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
$17 to $22 a pack.
Right, but I'm trying to think of the gauge. If that's a lighter gauge or a
45 to 105 is like a medium.
Medium gauge.
It's standard. It's what you find on most standard bases.
It's comfortable.
Right,
for me.
Right. I think I'm trying to remember my gauge. I use Rotos on my Ricky, and I think that's the gauge.
Roto sounds. Yeah, 105 is probably the
gets that sound.
Yeah. And they're comfortable. And if I need to bend, they're bendable. So they're not like too thick.
Right. You have a lot of strength there. To bend those strings, that takes some strength.
Yeah, on the bass guitar, it's best to use those on that bass guitar because it's a small neck and the truss rod is usually smaller than the other size. And you don't want to bring the weight up on the neck and bring the action up.
Well, the boomers, I've noticed too, give you the depth too. I mean, like for example, Roto's great, but it doesn't get as deep as those.
Right.
So you get some bottom.
I've tried other
there.
Strings and I just keep going back to these.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried other ones and the
well, it's a
ones
it's a nice sound. It's almost it's got a nice organic type of tone to it, and it's not too bright, but it's also but it, like when you're playing like that funky stuff, it gets that tone. It's hard
to describe. The cool thing about the GHS strings, the nickel they use is really bright. You can really control it, and then the style that she plays in, it's perfect.
Yeah, because we do a lot of different styles. I mean, we do everything from ballad, like really bluesy At Last, Linda Ronstadt, and then we'll go into Led Zeppelin, and then we'll go into disco, and Donna Summer, and everything in between. So,
well, let's we are very fortunate to have a couple of the players in your band with you. One of them was actually the drummer on some of the cuts, Ronnie Ciago, and Carlos de la Paz on guitar. So why don't we have you play something, and then we can break it out a little bit and talk to the guys a little bit about playing it.
That sounds good. Let's do a little bit of Country Girl.
Okay. Get everything on. Okay, we're good.
Okay. So we got Ronnie on his boom box here. Is your amp on?
Right. He's there.
Just give me the tempo.
I was born on a southbound Greyhound bus. Didn't need much money, loving was plenty for us. Got my mama's straw, my daddy's rebel yell. I'm half outlaw, half southern belle. Just a country girl at heart, if you can't tell. That southern charm and comfort's calling me back. And I like to get on lady like on Jack. Steal the night away in Charlotte. You be red, I'll be scarlet. Southern girl knows how to get the party started. Take me down, I'm Smoky Mountain bound. Take me down that old Blue Ridge Road, where the willow know me well, in the hollow raisin hell. Just a country girl at heart, if you can't tell. Well, bless her little heart, ain't what it seems. And a bathtub full of gin will keep it squeaky clean. Blade by water where I come from, they're triple proof. Homemade rum, I'm a backwoods daughter and a roll with a shotgun. Take me down, I'm Smoky Mountain bound. Take me down that old Blue Ridge Road, where the willow know me well, in the hollow raisin hell. Just a country girl at heart, if you can't tell. That southern freight train, she's singing my song. The one that's going, come on, girl, get on back home. Get on back. Sugar maple and homemade brew, but sting you like a veal and Mountain Dew. I like good old boys and pickup trucks, barefoot home cook, down home love. Just some of the things country girls are made of. Take me down, I'm Smoky Mountain bound. take me down that old Blue Ridge Road, where the willow weep for me, and kinfolk's all you need. Just a country girl at heart if you can't see. Where the willow know me well in the hollow raisin hell. Just a country girl at heart if you can't tell. Said I'm a country girl at heart if you can't tell. I'm just a country girl at heart if you can't tell. Ended up playing the whole song after all.
That's okay. No, I wanted to get some of the fills
right,
in there too.
Okay, right on.
So let me just describe what's going on here. We have Carlos is playing in his amp is a frontman, a Fender frontman 25R, and he's using an Ibanez
1982 musician Ibanez.
1982 musician.
Like copy of a BC Rich.
Oh, it's.
Well, they kind of modeled it, I guess, straight through. And by the way, that amp right there is a special edition that Guitar Center put out with the Red Tolex, Texas Red.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they don't make those no more.
The Red, okay, that's the...
Not expensive amps, but that looks look cool. I didn't spray paint
it. Good, you don't want to do that.
I didn't want it to be too tacky.
Now, that's the now I see a little like a... Is that a mute that you have past the bridge?
Yeah.
Is it?
My finger goes here sometimes, and it cuts me.
Oh, okay, so it's where you place your finger.
The wind of the string, so that's why I started doing that. Now it muffles no matter what. But it's cool, though, for the pedal steel stuff. And you know. I learned from Jeff Ross, if you know who he is. He used to be in the Helicasters years ago.
Jeff Ross?
Yeah.
Yeah, Carlos is really amazing at consolidating the parts, and he actually can get a pedal steel sound.
I heard that without
a pedal steel.
Yeah, he was getting that sound at the very end. He was playing you went to the slide and
I'm playing like a million parts.
Because that guitar solo has both Telecaster and pedal steel in it.
Right. And he was doing both.
He's doing both.
But now is that a standard tuning? Are you just using normal
standard
tuning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
and he's using a bot. Yeah, he's getting
it. Sounds like we're in Hawaii, huh?
Hello. Actually more in Nashville for me, but I mean he's getting that thing there. But it gets that pedal steel sound.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Really cool. Yeah.
I mean, I would never think of that for an Ibanez.
We do
guitar.
Like Linda Ronstadt and the Swampy stuff, and he does all that. Sounds just like.
And he's using a Dunlop pedal, and he's using an MXR Dynacomp.
Best.
Oh, I love them. They They have their own sound.
I have
to
two
them.
Old ones, and that's probably a newer one because it has an LED light. But they sound the best.
Really
no, that's
cool.
A great.
That's, you got to have that for the country shit.
For the telly,
that twang.
Yeah.
Because it makes everything even.
That's just amazing.
Cool,
that,
huh?
That those are what are the are those the standard Ibanez pickups?
No, Seymour Duncans. The original ones are too mushy.
James, and which Seymours are those? Which Seymours are you using?
JB, and I think a PAF on this one.
So, wow, I mean, it doesn't
no
sound
screws.
Like...
There's no screws. So I silicone the whole pickup in the hole.
Oh, you just silicone... literally floating in...
I'm not going to touch that one, man. I'm not going to touch it.
It was squealing. I couldn't have it more. It was squealing. And these are split coil. So I have one split coil. That's why it sounds like more like a telly.
Oh, okay. So you...
So,
oh, okay.
But it's all split.
So were you using a split coil when
yep.
you were playing? I was wondering.
If I don't, I put them both on. It's for all the rock. It's fatter. Or you put one, and it's just like a...
Yeah, you're using
positive.
Like that kind of a
that's
that
why
telly
I use a guitar because it's extremely versatile. I have a twin to this.
Right.
So when I break a string, nobody knows.
Because it's it's like the telly with the humbucker and the rhythm pickup place.
It's as close as you're going to get, especially when you put the Dynacomp on. That's the...
It definitely, no, it's definitely a sound, but it's just amazing, that bright sound that's typical of the pedal steel. I mean, like, I'm looking at this Ibanez guitar, and it's like, it's just not registering. But you get the sound. It definitely gets that steel guitar sound.
And it took me a while to work all that, to get that word to me. So it was all in the hands, too.
That's true. But you got it down.
But doing her songs, we just learn them, and I'm still consolidating parts.
Yeah.
Because I'm going, but I'm eventually going to learn every part. The fiddle has a fiddle solo. I'm gonna start learning that and try to play more like, just like more like. Anyway, whatever. It's more like lighter and feathery.
When we're playing the stuff as a three piece.
Right.
Yeah, we just make it work and consolidate parts. And
it's a Zeppelin thing, man. A million overdubs in the Zeppelin songs. From teaching, I consolidate all the parts, learn all the overdubs. Then, what can you do here? What can you do there?
Well, it's pretty full. I mean, you're doing a lot of stuff, and as a trio, because you don't have the rhythm guitar there, and it's still there. I mean, it's pretty interesting doing this as a trio.
Totally,
that must be a challenge.
It is. Yeah, more of a challenge for Carlos, though, actually.
Well, thank you for noticing that. I mean, in all the parts, because, she's laying down, and me and Ronnie are trying to, but sometimes it gets overwhelming, because I do organ parts, too, and I'm going in and out.
He's doing
but I like it. I enjoy it.
It's a challenge. No, I get it.
I enjoy it. And it's a lot of people, if they're not versatile, they can't do it.
Yeah. Now, Ronnie, are you using the cajon when you play as a trio, or do you use a full kit?
No. It's all rock, and bottom style kit.
Okay, so you're still using a full kit.
Yeah, we're rocking
that. I mean, you're doing... He's covered it pretty well.
Unless
with
it's an acoustic gig. If it's an acoustic gig, he'll bring all of his acoustic stuff.
Yeah, we do an acoustic thing too.
And but as acoustic, you're not using that guitar, right?
No.
You're just playing regular acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. What do you use for that?
It's a Fender. It's one over there.
A Fender acoustic?
Fender acoustic, and I have a pickup on the... I have a 30-year-old pickup in the sound hall.
Oh, okay.
DeArmond,
or is it an older pickup, or is it LR Bags? Or
I can go look at it, but I can't stand direct pickups on the bridge.
Mean the piezo? The piezo.
Anything on a bridge pickup, I don't care what, I don't care how expensive it is, it doesn't sound real to me. I gotta have a pickup in the sound.
Mm-hmm. I'll take a picture of it.
Bill Lawrence.
Although those are nice. Those are very nice.
30 years old.
Yeah.
I swear. And it just sounds good. It's just aged.
Well, I told you it would go fast. We're out of time already.
Wow, that was fast.
I mean, it just whipped right
by. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, this is a great album. It's called Old Southern Soul. And where is it available? Everywhere?
It's available first at kimmartinmusic.com, both CDs and downloads. And when you buy the hard copy CD, you instantly get a download of the album in the email. And then it's also available on iTunes.
Okay.
And it's streaming on Apple Music, and it will be on Spotify very soon and all the other online radio stations.
Okay. Now, what upcoming gigs? Where are you playing?
We play this weekend. We have Taps Corona Friday, Saturday the Etowana Roadhouse in Ranch Cucamonga. Sunday we're down at the South 40 in Mira Loma. So we're all over the place.
Okay.
I'll probably be doing a couple CD release parties. One of them will probably be at the 66 in Rancho. It's a club we were at last night, and a lot of my fans and friends are in that area. And then I also would like to go do one in the Corona area, possibly at Rockefeller's.
Mm-hmm.
probably a Sunday, maybe an out, because I have a great outside patio. Mm-hmm. And because I have a lot of friends in that part of town, too, down towards Temecula and Marietta. So I'd like to kind of do two.
Okay. Well, that
just
sounds
for the
great.
Instant, just for the first couple, get it going.
Well, definitely, everybody, check this album out. It's really nice. And Kim's also on Facebook. Kim Martin Band's on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Check that out, because there's some cool pictures of the guitars and stuff. And I want to thank you.
Thank you.
For coming on the show. And Carlos and Ronnie, awesome. I'm going to take some more pictures of those guitars. Mm-hmm. James, thank you so much for introducing us. And
James was instrumental in this project happening because he introduced me to Hank. He'd been telling me about Hank for several years since we met, and we finally met at the NAMM show in 2015, and 4 months later we started recording.
And this all happened. I took a wrong turn one night, and I was heading back from a studio recording, and I missed my turn, and I was looking to make a U-turn, and when I made a U-turn, I heard his music coming from this venue, so I stopped in and I sat down, and someone told me I can sing. And I said, "Really? We'll have the band play this for you and see if you can sing." What a train wreck! She comes up to me, she goes, "Was that your girlfriend?" I go, "No."
That's how
I met Kim, and then we became the best of friends. And Janine, her assistant, Janine Haskell, who's sitting here next to me, came out to me and said, "Hey, you gotta help Kim. I said, I'll help her, don't worry, I'll get to that day." And then the day came and everything is done. And you know, it wasn't an easy road for Kim, but I'm glad she accomplished it, and I'm really happy for her, and she's one of my best friends in the whole wide world.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I can feel the love.
Well, no, I'm glad we met. The last time we met was at NAMM.
Yeah,
and I want to do a shout out to Kat Jensen. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Kat.
And then also a friend of mine, Tracy Blevins. She was in a car accident this weekend, and she's listening out from her hospital bed in Texas. So
get well soon.
Yes. Wishing well soon, and everybody else, and Laura, and all the friends that I have.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to leave us with the title track, Old Southern Soul, the clip to take us out. Everybody have a great week, and also too, as I told you, it goes by fast, so you're just gonna have to come back. There's just no
all
doubt
right
about
well
it.
We'll do that.
You'll have to bring the other bass.
Okay.
I want both of them here.
Okay.
But anyway, no, thank you again, everybody. Check out www.kimmartinmusic.com and check out this EP. It's great. So here we go. Have a great week, and we will see you next week. Here's Old Southern Soul.
Have a little mercy. Buried with my rock and roll.